teachers union got one.
I think we're 13. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. So we're too short of what we had Sunday. Let's start with an opening prayer. Dwight, can I get you to lead us in an opening prayer?
Dear God, our Father, we thank Thee for this day and for the many blessings that You bountifully share on us. We thank You, Father, for this class tonight and for all that are here. And we hope the wisdom from Your Word will sink deep into our minds and we'll do Your will from this day forward. We thank You, Father, for our ability to be a part of Jesus' bride. We thank You for the willingness that He had to shed His blood. That will forgive our sins. And hopefully, Father, when we live our lives, we will be accepted. Father, we thank Thee for our brother that's teaching tonight. And help us always to remind ourselves that this word will last forever. And that our actions speak louder than our words. Be with those in need of our prayers. And be with us, Father, we might be on Your side of everything. Help us always to be strong. Lead us and guide us and save us in the end. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 26. I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to go back through it. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you." Now, as I go through this, I don't know if you underline stuff in your Bible or not, but this is important. Verse 3, I will be with you. "For to you to go and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham." In Genesis 15, if you remember. "I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now here's another verse 5 that you should underline. "Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "My wife," thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. It came about when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was, and there's different versions. There is a laughing version. There's one version that says sporting and caressing. In Hebrew, they're kind of all the same thing. So just you can kind of keep that in mind. "Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, 'Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say, she is my sister?' And Isaac said to him, 'Because I said I might die on account of her.' Abimelech said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have laid with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us.' So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, 'He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.' Now Isaac sowed in that land wheat in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possession of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us.' And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up, and after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same name which his father had given him. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well. They quarreled over it too. So he named it Sitnah. He moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. Then when he went up from there to Beersheba, the Lord appeared to him the same night. I am the God of your father. And you can underline this next sentence. Do not fear, I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for your sake of my servant Abraham. So he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor Ahuzah, and Philcol, the commander of his army. Isaac said to them, why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away? They said, and you can underline this one too, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you do us no harm, just as we have not touched you, and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. Then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose and early and exchanged their oaths. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, we have found water. So he called it Shibah. Therefore the city of that name is Beersheba to this day. These last two verses, I'm just going to, just going to quickly, because it's interesting. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Now, just that brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. What do you think about when you read that about? Think about it now.
About Abraham and him lying with his wife, his sister.
Yeah, that's for sure. But Esau was a trouble. Well, go back to, let's see. I want to put something together here. Go back to Genesis 24, verse 3. And I want you to think about Esau and Ishmael. Now, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, whom I live. That was Isaac. Now, if you go back further, chapter 21, verse 21, because you kind of put these series, kind of put these events in order. And this is Ishmael. God was with the lad and he grew. But see, and I want you to notice something. God was with him. God gave him the same chance that you and I have. But he lived in the wilderness to become an archer. He lived in the wilderness as a friend. His mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Now you see, what's Esau do?
He got his own.
Yeah, and what Ishmael do? And you see their devotion to God in contrast to Isaac. And I think that's interesting as we go through these stories, how the different avenues, you know, to me, these stories start out always as a little stream. And then they go into little rivers, and then they get big rivers, and then the tributaries go off. And that's what happens with all these people. Now, as we study about chapter 26, in my mind, it's not about Isaac. And you're thinking, well, what are you talking about? The story is about Isaac. But I don't see that. If you go to verse 3, verse 2 and 3, especially 3, sojourn in the land, and I will be with you. That is the most vital promise to me in the whole Bible. Now, who else heard that, I will be with you? Abraham. Okay, who else heard it? After Isaac. Who's next?
Jacob.
Jacob. Who's next?
His sons, Jacob's sons.
Yeah, but we start with Abraham, the promise. We go to Isaac. We go to
Jacob.
Yeah. And then we go to Moses is in there, the land of the Israelites. And then the, I'm trying to get this all in my head. Moses, I wrote it down. Let me see if I can find it. Because I think it's important.
Joseph came before Moses.
Yeah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, the prophets, disciples, apostles, and then Jesus. The same promise. And I thought that was really, really kind of neat. Now, turn to Matthew 28:20. These are the last words of Jesus. Because I want this story to apply to us. Matthew 28:20. And anybody can read it, whoever gets there first. And this is another verse I think you really ought to underline in your Bible, because this promise carries all the way through to us.
28:20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Now that's Jesus' last words. And who's that applied to?
Us.
It applies to us. The same promise that I am with you. Johnny?
But there's more to that promise. As he's made that promise to everybody, it is as long as you do what I command you. If you fail to do that, then you're not going to receive that promise.
There's always some conditions. We can break that article, that promise. So when we study about this, to me, it isn't about Isaac and the issues that happen here. It's about God in the background and the promise. And as we look at our lives, I think we ought to look at the story in the same exact way. It's not necessarily what's in front of us, what's going on, it's what?
In the future, or in the background.
It's in the background. God's in the background. Jesus said that. I'll be with you. And I think that's important. And every time as we go through this, you see the word so, S-O, that's Isaac's response to what is going on. Not necessarily God's response. Isaac said, well, that's what I'm going to do to this problem. Because all this is here is a series of little problems. And Isaac's response. So I thought that was the way to look at this story, because God is in the background. So anyway, there's a famine. Let's see. So sojourn this land, I will be with you and bless you, for you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your fathers. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give you descendants of all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham did what?
Obeyed.
He obeyed. Now if you go back, let me find it real quick. Chapter 18, starting with verse 19, because it says here that Abraham obeyed. It says, for I have chosen him, Abraham, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. Now, I think that's interesting when you start putting these people and the way they live in sequence to the lives of the people that didn't live like that, like Ishmael. His mother chose him a wife of the Egyptians, and and so forth. So the house will have to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he had spoken about. Now, if you go over to one more thing, we'll get back on this, but let me, I think it's 23. No, it's actually 25. 25 chapter 8, or verse 8. And Abraham lived to be 175 years old. And I thought this was really exciting to me. Abraham breathed the last and died at his ripe old age, an old man, but he was satisfied with life. Now, that's kind of comforting, isn't it? Now, we know Abraham, just like Chester just said, that he had went into Egypt, wasn't supposed to, lied to the Pharaoh, and just tumbled. You know, all these lies and things that happened because he either momentarily forgot that God was back there, or he chose not to trust God. And to me, that's what faith is. You know, a faithless person either forgets that God is there or chooses to ignore God, or a faithful person don't look at all the circumstances ahead of you and start to manipulate all these things going on. You kind of let it in God's hands. And I thought that was interesting, that he lived a ripe old age, an old man, and he was satisfied with his life. Now, as we read chapter 26 here, kind of keep those things in mind, these avenues, these paths that people take. Because to me, the story is not about Isaac. We're going to read about it, and we're going to get the facts. But you know, when you stop and think about it, this is the only thing on Isaac there is. You know, this is one little part here. And you know, it's stupid, but I never really realized that before. Started reading and say, hey, that's it on him. So anyway, I will multiply you. Oh, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac lived near Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, she is my sister, darling.
Well, just going back to that first couple verses, in chapter 12,
verse Abraham 7.
Went down to Egypt,
yeah, verse,
when there,
yeah,
was a famine. And it doesn't say anything about God directing him, but in chapter 26, God tells Isaac, don't go down to Egypt.
Yeah.
So there must have been some reason that God didn't want him to go to Egypt. He wanted him to stay in Canaan.
Why?
Because that's where the promise was going to be.
Yeah, and I can give you a lot of reasons why not to go to Egypt. You know, just, anyway. So Isaac, and that's what Chessa was talking about, how Abraham, it's almost the same story. I remember the first time I read these stories, and I'm thinking, somebody must be making this up. I mean, same thing, same exact events, same beautiful woman, same life. And it takes a while when you read these stories. Lately, I didn't know nothing about them anyway. I thought, come on, you know, that can't be happening. But it does. She is my sister, for he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebecca, for she is beautiful. It came about when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, now let's talk about Abimelech for a minute. Who was Abraham's Pharaoh?
Wasn't it Abimelech?
Abimelech!
So I'm thinking, why is he saying
this is the same stuff as Abraham? Now you go to Psalms and Judges, there's more Abimelech. Judges was a wicked, wicked king. Now, I tried to read about Abimelech. Now, you can look at Abimelech in two ways. It was either a generic name that are for kings, or the Philistines just like that name. And the king. So you choose it. There's no definitive answer. But man, what a coincidence. So Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Well, that probably caught him off guard a little bit, you know. So then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said I might die on account of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us?" Now, tell me something about Abimelech there. Is he a pretty decent guy?
He respected marriage.
Yeah, I don't necessarily mean that he's a godly person, but he had some morals, didn't he? He had some character. Because he said, you know, what have you done to us? He knew that it was wrong. That it would have been wrong for anybody to have lain with his wife.
Feared God. Feared him.
Yeah. People don't have much problem with that today, Don.
Well, I was thinking, this is the same area. It's not the same Abimelech, but surely they knew about what had happened to Abraham, these same people that, it probably was a long time later, years had passed, but the same thing's happening again.
Well,
it's just a question,
Well, life seems to be the same thing. We can read any of these stories going clear back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, same thing. There's people that choose, Cain and Abel. Abel chose to do what God wanted him to do. There was no question. For some reason, and I don't know what was in Cain's mind, but he was a jealous, spiteful person, vengeful person. And he killed his brother. And God, in verse, I think it's chapter 3, verse 4 or something, God tells Cain, if you would have listened to my voice, or maybe this, let's see. In verse 7, it says, if you do well, will you not your countenance be lifted up? God says, if you do, he knew, Cain knew, didn't he? And every one of these people that we talk about, Ishmael, because God told Ishmael, God told Hagar, I will bless you, I am with you. And what do?
Took matters in their own hands.
That's right, took matters in their own hands. They start manipulating things, and what happens? God says, look, Cain, if you would have done what I said, this wouldn't be happening. And if you do well, if you do not well, and see, that's what Chesson was also talking about, the consequences, two sides of the coin, so to speak. Sin is crouching at the door and it desires for you, but you must master it. That's the difference. And when you go back to Abraham, chapter 25, and that he lived this life that he was satisfied, what did he do? He had mastered that some way, didn't he? Even though he sinned, didn't he? He mastered, and that's what God told Cain to do way back then. If you do this, these wouldn't be an issue. And as we go through 26 here, it's the same exact thing. So to me, when I read this, the story wasn't about Isaac. Story's about us. How we deal with the problems in our lives, the famines, if you want to call it that. How do we deal with that? Do we realize that God is with us, and the prophets, the apostles, Joshua, Moses, all of them was told the same exact promise in Matthew 28:20. We're told the same exact thing. So when we read this, how are we going to react? How are we going to react to this stuff? Anyway, any questions? I don't.
We try to tell this to our grandkids. Most of them listen. Some of them just don't listen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's so many distractions this day and time. It's hard to get the youth to even listen to any part of religion. It's so hard.
Yeah, they would think these stories are silly. In fact, I remember the first time I read about Abraham, I thought, come on, kind of silly here, because, you know, same things years later, and the son and all that. But you know, when you start reading these stories and putting these events together like Cain and Abel, and God saying, look, if you'd have done this. And then when you read about Abraham, that he lived satisfied, you know he mastered those problems. And that's why we study this. To me, it's not necessary to learn about Isaac. Johnny?
My Bible referred me to Proverbs 29, 25, 26, which is very interesting. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
So in each one of their case, they didn't put their trust in God. Yeah. That was their fear of the leader.
Yeah, and I think this is interesting about this, and that's why I said something about Esau, that and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Who else they bring grief to? God, didn't they?
The Lord, yes.
Yeah, they bring grief to God.
You know, we've thrown the word around a lot in so far this class. Faith. They didn't have faith. Some of them didn't.
Oh, no.
And Hebrews 11:6 tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. So they didn't have the faith in him that they should have, or they'd have had better circumstances.
So what is faith? What?
The substance of things hoped for.
Evidence of things not seen.
Not seen. Yeah, that's right. So we don't see God in the background, but what he tell us? I am with you. That's what I said when I first started reading this. That whole story is about that to me. I will be with you. And if we could get that in our head, Jim Whiteside, it's hard, isn't it? I have a hard time with that because I go about my life making my way and I don't do the things that the trust in God, Johnny.
But it's hard for us to realize what's going on here.
Yeah.
Because it don't happen in the United States from the leaders. But if we look at the leader of North Korea, he got to thinking about his brother, half brother, might cause him a problem. So what happened? He hadn't killed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're talking about the Abimelechs, I think it's a generation down, two of them. If they didn't like you for some reason, or if they wanted something from you, they just kill you and take it.
Yeah.
And Hung Nguyen, who's the mechanic here, that when he escaped from Vietnam, he traveled separate from his wife, because when they got in the next land or so over, that they were killing the Vietnamese men and taking the good-looking women.
Yeah.
And so he had to travel separate for both of them's lives.
Yeah, I think if we can do anything, get our young people to realize how great this country is and how easy it is, how blessed we are, they're out in the street yelling and screaming and I want more and stomping their feet and yelling. I'm thinking, man, that's sad, isn't it? That is so sad. Go to North Korea. You know, see what, you know, if you don't like it here, go over there. Try it for a couple weeks. See, anyway, I get all crazy here about that.
But I was just using that to understand it's different from what our typical thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So Abimelech, I think he was had some good moral character here, because Abimelech said, and we're going to get to why Abimelech, I think, is like this in just a minute. What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife. We all know what that means. And you would have brought guilt upon us. Now, where would guilt come from?
Lord.
Yeah, that's right. He knew about God, didn't he? I mean, he wasn't afraid of what, feeling guilty about his other people, his servants. They knew about God. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall be surely put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land, reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow. grow rich until become very wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks and herds, a great household of the Philistines, envied him. And all the wells which the father's sons had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. And Donna?
Well, I thought it was interesting, you know, the first verse it says there's a famine in the land. And then in verse 12 it says that Isaac sowed in that land and he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Where maybe the other people, Abimelech's people, you know, they weren't having any 100-fold crops, so that they could see that God was with Isaac too.
Well, go over to verse 28 and read what it says. They're not blind, they're not stupid. They said, we see plainly that the Lord is with you. Go to Genesis 21, 22. Now it came about that at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. I mean, the same exact story, and it's amazing to me. So people see. That's why I said you really ought to underline it in your Bible. What does people see in us? I mean, I know this story about Isaac here, but when you put it down to, like Johnny said, the rubber meets the road, when it comes to me, what do people see? What do people see in you, Darlene? What do people see in you, Dwayne? Do they see that God is with you, that you are a godly person? Spiritual-minded person?
Along with that, I think the reason they could see that in him, wherever they pretty well stopped, if you notice, when he dug a well, they hit a stream.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that Abimelech and his people, when they dug a hole, they probably had a dry hole most of the time with the famine that's with
them. That could be.
But, I mean, when the person...
For some reason, they knew. And we're going to find out here something in a second about that. For he had possessions of flocks and herds of great household, and Philistines envied him. And all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful. So Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Jaar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given him. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled, and they stopped them up. He moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, for he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in this land. And then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not fear. I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. So keep that in mind. The Lord just said, do not fear, I am with you. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Now keep those two things in mind. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor, and Azutha, and Phicol, the commander of the army. Abimelech just sent them away because they were quarreling and having problems. If you were Isaac and you saw this army basically coming, what would you think? You'd probably reach for your gun. You know, they're not coming for any peaceful things here. Isaac said to them, why do you come to me since you hate me? So there was a problem there. And have sent me away from you. They said, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So he said, let there now be an oath between us, which we read. All about the oath. They made had a feast and exchanged oaths. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him, the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." Now, how long was it after they found water that the Lord says, "Do not fear, I am with you"? The Lord kind of reiterates the problem. So what happens? They dug another well, and almost immediately after that, they find water. So how could Abimelech and the Philistines not see that God is with godly people? Any questions? You're awful quiet tonight. What? Let's turn to Psalms 27. I don't know why I wrote that down now. Must have been a reason. Psalms 27:17-20. That doesn't make sense.
Not that many verses.
Not that many verses.
Well, don't listen to me. I don't know what I was doing.
Well, that's okay.
So anyway, right after the Lord makes this promise that they finally found water on the same day, and I thought that was interesting, that it came about on the same day that Isaac came in, his servant told him they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Shaboah. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Any questions? We got through that and got 5 minutes left. Oh, come on.
I got a statement to make.
Okay.
In reading this all the way back to Abraham, it to me, it's becoming pretty clear to me the reason he didn't want to take a Canaanite woman for the wife of his chosen son, because each time they lied about their wife being their sister to protect their life, which it tells me that all these young girls were being taken by the powerful men, and they were, if they become from the Canaanite women, most likely they were not virgins. And that was one of the, I think, the requirements that God was having for the ones that would be the chosen ones, such as Rebecca, and on down, that they would be a virgin wife for the one that receives.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's an underlining thing I get out of it.
Never thought about that, but yeah, that's a good point. Even though it says that Rebecca was a beautiful woman, that beautiful could mean something along those lines. It may not mean what Jim Weissack thinks. Oh man, she was all this and that. There may be more
fear.
Too. Maybe more too.
Yeah.
To that. Yeah. So faith is being faithful is believing more of what you can't see, I think, than what you can see. So the choices that Isaac made here. Lies, same thing, but God's promise, that was the two big things. I think that was the biggest thing, that the promise, God is with you. Donna?
I was thinking too that in Hebrews it talks about Abraham that he never saw the first part of the promise,
yeah,
but he told Isaac about it, that there was going to be a promise.
Yeah.
And it also says that Isaac made an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. So Abraham taught Isaac about the Lord.
There's no doubt. I think all these people knew about God. I don't think any of them did not know anything about God. I think what I get out of this is that they chose either go right or left. Is what I get out of all these things. And then there's the in-between. area, the gray area. Abimelech was a good moral person, I think. He did believe in God, but did he?
He didn't serve him.
What?
He didn't serve.
He didn't serve God, and that's true in all the stories and all the events and all the peoples in the Bibles. You know, even Cain and Abel. You know, Cain knew what the terms were, and I always go back to that because he didn't just set Cain up to fail. God didn't set the Pharaoh up to fail. Why did Pharaoh's heart get hardened? It says God hardened his heart. Now, is that what that means? That God said, I'm just hardened your heart. What about Canaan and Noah's son? Why did he act like that? Did God do something to him and he got cursed forever?
He chose to,
and the prophecy was God knew what these people were going to do. What does that tell you and I?
He knows what we're going to do.
Pardon?
He knows what we're going to do.
He can read the hearts and minds of all of us, but we have a choice. Sure. Did Cain have to kill his brother because that's the way it was?
No.
Did Pharaoh have to not let his people go?
Till he saw the power of God, he just would not obey.
He wouldn't even do it then.
No, that's right.
He did for a short. He kind of wishy-washy, but... And how could you not? How could the Israelites see the miracles of God over and over and over and over, and what do? They're no more out of Egypt, and they're murmuring, complaining. Let us go back. You brought us out here to kill us. After all the miracles, the plagues, let's see. I'm trying to think. Exodus 10, I think. It's an interesting... Maybe. No, chapter 8 in Exodus. This is an interesting... This is another one you can underline, because this is what we do. Moses said to Pharaoh, "The honor is yours to tell me..." And this is the plague of the frog. "When I shall entreat you for your servants and your people, that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile." Moses is telling him, if you do this, there'll be no more frog. What does Pharaoh say? Listen to this. Then he said, "Tomorrow." That's what Pharaoh said. You want to underline something in your Bible? Put that down. That's what Pharaoh, tomorrow. After all the miracles, you know, all the things that Moses showed him, the power of God, what's he say? Well, maybe tomorrow.
It's hard to give up.
Can you get that in your head? It's hard, isn't it? That anybody could be that idiotic, that stupid. And yet, what do? Idiotic and stupid. Boy, we jump right on the bandwagon. And I think when you put all these things together, and you know, God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart just because. He knew exactly what was going to happen. That's why Pharaoh said, "Well, I see all that stuff. Maybe tomorrow we'll do it." And I think people sat out in the audience when we have a good lesson, and they just sat there. I think of that verse, you know. They maybe tomorrow. Anyway, any, I don't know what's going on with the week. Oh, it's off. Anyway, any comments? Or
well, this is probably out of line, but I don't know how many have seen the Ten Commandments, but it was 1956, and Cecil B. DeMille put that thing out, and that was the most wondrous movie I'd ever seen. And Yul Brynner could not have been, no one else could have been picked to play the part of Pharaoh. As well as he did.
I don't know if I've seen it all or not. Am I old enough to see that?
He comes on every year.
Oh. He was perfect.
Well, you see how much I watch TV. I've seen parts and pieces of it. I don't know. I've seen the whole thing. Anyway, thank you for your comments. Mr. Mark is going to teach 27, and you'll be stuck again with me in the chapter 28.
Two parts. That's the plan, two parts.